Welcome to BibleBap.org and the Sermon Archive Ministry of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. For over 45 years, the Bible has been faithfully preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church each week. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reminds us that it is by the preaching of the Word of God that men and women are saved. We trust you will be blessed and encouraged by the preaching ministry of our senior pastor, Greg Butler, the church staff, and guests who fill the pulpit at Bible Baptist Church. Let's open our Bibles now as God's Word is opened and preached to us.
Open your Bible, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 22. Revelation 22, the last page in your Bible. And let's see what the Word says about it. Please follow with me. We begin reading in verse number 17 for context. Revelation 22, 17, and the Word of the Lord says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Would you particularly note this morning verse number 20, which is the last promise of the Bible. Again, verse number 20, "He which testifieth these things," of course, that's the Lord Jesus. He's been speaking since chapter 1. "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I pray this morning that you would use me as your vessel, Lord, to communicate the truth of your word to our hearts. Lord, I pray today that the blessed promise that we see today would become even more dear to your people. Lord, I pray that we would live in an air of expectation, knowing that what you said is so. That we might be looking for the return of our Savior. We pray that you'll draw the lost to yourself to be saved. And I pray today for the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to preach the word. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is a book of promises. It is filled with promises, promises that God has made to men. Exactly how many promises there are in the Bible, I don't know. I've never tried to count them. I've read the accounts of others who have tried to count the promises of the Bible. And, of course, the number goes into the thousands. How many promises that God has made to man in His Word. But regardless of how many promises there are in Scripture, when we come to Revelation 22 and verse number 20, we find the last of those promises recorded in God's Word. This promise was uttered by our Savior, the Lord Jesus, spoken to the Apostle John as John was writing his concluding words there of this book there on the Isle of Patmos where John had been imprisoned for his testimony for Jesus Christ. The promise the Lord made here was, "Surely I come quickly." Now, I would assume that you know this, but just in case you maybe have forgotten this, this is not the only time in the final chapter of the Bible that Jesus has promised that he is going to come again. If you look at verse number 7 in the same chapter, the Lord is speaking, and he said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book." If you then look down to verse number 12, the Lord speaks again, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Now, from the study of other scriptures that we combine with this study of the book of the Revelation, we know that any time a message is repeating in the Bible, anytime the wording is repeated or a theme is repeated there, it is done so to show several things. Number one, it shows urgency. And so in verses 7, 12, and 20, excuse me, when the Lord Jesus talks about his second coming, does so three times in one chapter, it communicates to us a message that it is urgent that we understand this message and that we pass it on to others. It also indicates that what is said is important. And so the Lord Jesus, three times in this final chapter of the Bible, reminds us that the theme, the message, the promise of his second coming is important to be heard and to be disseminated among others. And then a third reason that the Lord repeats messages such as this is to emphasize the certainty of what he has stated. And the Lord Jesus would have us to understand in verses 7, 12, and 20 in the final chapter of the Bible that it is a matter of absolute certainty that Jesus Christ is coming again. Here in chapter 22 and verse number 20, the Lord Jesus is repeating the third time these words that I'm going to come again. And for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the return of Christ, excuse me, is the light of hope that encourages us and that guides us through this world. James McConkie, an old preacher from years ago, was telling a story of a barge that was being tugged across the Great Lakes, and there came down a storm, and the little tugboat that was pulling that huge barge began to founder as the waters were rising and the wind was blowing. It was an awful storm. And finally, the captain determined it was better that he take his crew and they get off onto a little lifeboat and try to make their way toward shore. McConkie told the story how that captain and his little crew that night spent the entire darkness hours until the sun rose the next morning, and they're on that little lifeboat, and they're trying to get towards shore. Eventually, a large ship came by, spotted the men in distress, and stopped and picked the captain and his crew up and carried them safely to shore. Someone talked to the captain of the ship after that and said, "Well, how did you keep your nerve? How did you keep from just going all to pieces when you're going through that storm and your life seems so uncertain?" And he said it was this: all through the night, all through the darkness, the thing that encouraged us was that off in the distance, we could see the lights of home. And folks, the second coming of Jesus Christ for the Christian is the lights of home. It is the light of home. It is the light of hope. When we're surrounded by troubles and conflicts and all that this world brings against us here, it is that blessed hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ that steals our nerve and that guides us and keeps us through this time. I want you to look with me this morning at some of the things that the Bible tells us about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as related to the last promise of the Bible. I hope you'll jot these down in the margin of your Bible, and perhaps this will be a help to you later. Notice first concerning verse number 20, when Jesus said, "Surely I come quickly," the Bible is saying this: Christ's return, Christ's second coming is sure. It is not that it's just likely to happen, but it is absolutely certain that Jesus Christ is going to come again. Some might question the reliability of this. They say, "Well, it's been roughly 2,000 years since John finished writing his letter, the book of the Revelation, approximately 2,000 years, and the Lord has not come yet." But may I remind you that the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8 that as far as God is concerned, a year is as a day is as 1,000 years and vice versa. Time means nothing to our God. 1,000 years is as one day with the Lord. And in comparison with the ages of eternity, it hasn't really been that long since the Lord Jesus gave us the promise that he's going to come again. But I've also studied additionally this word quickly, and would have you to note this in your Bible. The word quickly comes from a Greek word. We get the word quickly in our English here. It comes from a Greek word that carries the thought of absolute certainty. It is absolutely sure, according to what Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." It's talking not just about the matter of how time is measured, but it's talking about the fact that the event that is foretold here is an absolute certainty. It is positively going to take place. Of course, Jesus in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, assured the disciples concerning his second coming when he said this, "If it were not so, I would have told you." It is a certainty that Jesus is going to come again. The second coming of Jesus Christ is one of the most prominent themes in all of the Bible. If you and I were to, every year we encourage members of the church to read our Bible through. If you were to start on January 1st in Genesis chapter number 1, and you went all through the Old Testament, and you took a pen and you underlined or you circled every mention of the second coming of Jesus Christ in the books Genesis all the way to Malachi, at the end of the year, you would find out that you had underlined 1,845 texts of Scripture. There are 1,845 different times in the Old Testament when the Bible prophesies the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's in addition to the prophecies of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you were to go then and say we're going to start in January and we're also going to mark in our New Testament the scriptures regarding the second coming of Christ, by the time you read through the New Testament and you underscored, you underlined every verse of the New Testament that mentioned the second coming of Christ, in the New Testament you would have 318 mentions of the second coming of Christ between Matthew and the book of the Revelation. You add all of those together, you get 2,163 mentions of the second coming of Christ in the combined Old and New Testaments. That's why I say it is one of the most prominent themes in Scripture. If you were to look at it this way, of all the verses between Matthew and the book of the Revelation in the New Testament, one out of approximately every 30 verses of the New Testament refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's why we talk about the second coming of Christ, and Jesus said, "I come quickly." The Lord is saying that His coming is absolutely a certainty. The Lord Jesus is going to come again. It is sure. Christ's coming is sure. But let's move on quickly. Notice also Christ's second coming is going to be supernatural. For years, the unbelievers, liberal theologians, have tried to deny and explain away, cast doubt upon the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. You have the liberal theologians that say, well, that's not to be interpreted literally. When it talks about Christ coming again, that's merely talking about death. But that could not be if you examine the Scriptures, because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 17, the Scripture says when Christ comes again, that many are going to meet Christ at the rapture who never died. There are going to be saints who are living. And by the way, I'm not setting times, I'm not setting dates, but I believe if I live a normal life expectancy of an average American man in my generation, I believe Jesus is coming in my lifetime. I do, listen, I may die of a heart attack this afternoon. I can't lose either way. But I believe if I live a normal life expectancy, I believe Jesus Christ is coming in my lifetime. I believe that I'll be privileged to be a part of the generation that will bypass the valley of the shadow of death and meet the Lord in the air. The Scripture tells us here about this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says that you cannot explain it away. It is going to be a supernatural event. There are some people that say, well, it's not talking about literally when that Jesus would come again. It's talking about when you receive Christ. But that couldn't be true. Isaiah 55 verse number 7 speaks of a person getting saved as a person returning to God, not God returning for that person. That's reverse order there. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and it's going to be a supernatural event. The Scripture tells us in Matthew 24. Well, let's just go there real quickly. Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew 24 is the Olivet Discourse. It is the longest recorded sermon of Jesus in all the New Testament that pertains to the subject of His second coming. And Matthew 24 and 25, but notice Matthew 24, verse number 27, the Bible says this, and Jesus was speaking, excuse me, about his second coming. He said, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What's it telling us about here? It's saying when Christ comes again, it is literally going to be an earth-shaking event. It's going to be a supernatural event. It's going to affect everybody living on planet Earth in one way or the other. It's going to be a supernatural event. And just like when the Lord ascended back into heaven following his resurrection from the dead, he promised he was going to come again. The Lord Jesus will keep that promise. Remember what he said, what the angel said in Acts chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11? Jesus had given the great commission. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Go to your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth, and tell them that Jesus saves. And the scripture said, as the disciples beheld the Lord, began to ascend. And the angel said, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which you have seen go into heaven, shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go. The disciples saw Jesus as he ascended, and there are going to be people that see Jesus when he comes again. It is going to be a supernatural event that is going to literally change the face of the world. Real quickly, the second coming of Christ is also going to be selective. We're in Matthew 24. Would you look with me, please, at verse number 40 for just a moment? Matthew 24, verse number 40, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. When Jesus Christ comes again, he's not coming at the rapture for everyone. He is coming only for the bride of Christ. He is coming for those who are in Christ, those folks who have been born again. Have you been born again? I didn't ask you if you joined a church. I didn't ask have you been baptized in water. I'm not asking, have you tried to be a good person? Have you tried to be a good neighbor? Have you tried to be a friend? Have you tried to pay your taxes on time? None of that has anything to do with it. I'm asking, have you been born again? Have you been saved? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he'll not see the kingdom of heaven. And so the scripture tells us here that when Christ comes, his coming is going to be selective. He's coming for those who know him as personal Savior. The lost are going to be left behind at the rapture because there's this thing called the tribulation, 7 years of which the prophet said there's never been a time of trouble like it before in the history of the world. Not during the Inquisition, not during the Crusades, not during the Holocaust, not during any. There's never been anything in the world like his coming, those 7 years immediately following the rapture. But you see, for saints who have been caught up to meet the Lord in the air, there's never been anything in this world like what we're going to. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to the Bema judgment, where rewards are going to be dispersed for faithfulness in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the 7 years, Revelation 19, the saints are going to mount the white steeds and come back with Christ riding upon the white horses when Jesus comes back and his feet stand on the Mount of Olives and Jesus begins to implement his kingdom and he rules and reigns over all the earth for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. The scripture says when Christ comes again, it is going to be a selective event in nature. Real quickly, notice something else about the second coming of Christ. We're in Matthew 24. Look at verse number 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. What's it telling us here? It tells us Christ's second coming is going to be surprising. Most of this world today is not looking for Jesus to come again. If the world were looking for Jesus Christ to come again, we would see a revival in this world. We would see an evangelism explosion like the world has never witnessed. The unsaved world is not looking for Jesus to come again. But I'm going to tell you something else. Most churches are not looking for Jesus to come again. Billy Graham said something one time that I think it raised the ire of some people. But I believe Billy Graham was right. Billy Graham said in his estimation, 50% of all the people that were members of churches had never been saved. Now that's what Billy Graham said. There are some estimates that are higher than that. But Billy Graham, the most famous evangelist of the last century, said that I firmly believe 50% of people whose names are on church rolls have never been saved. And the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to be surprising because so many people are not looking for the Lord to come again. The average church member needs to examine his, her heart and make sure that you're in the faith. As Paul said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And then real quickly also, notice concerning the second coming of Christ. Go with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 51. The second coming of Christ is going to be sudden. It's going to be a sudden event. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 51, Paul's giving one of the most detailed accounts of the rapture portion of the second coming, found in all scripture. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump or trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." It tells us here that the second coming of Christ, at the moment of the rapture, it is going to take place so quickly, so suddenly, it's going to be like the twinkling of an eye. That's not even the batting of an eye. I told you years ago, General Electric tried to measure the twinkling of an eye one time. We're told that General Electric said that it amounts to roughly 11 one-hundredths of 1 second. And you've heard people say, I've heard people say, well, when I believe the Lord's coming is near, then I'm going to pray that little sinner's prayer right quick and I'll get things right with God. Brother and sister, there won't be time for that. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then the second coming of Christ. And this, I don't want this to confuse anybody. I don't want you to say that Brother Greg said something Brother Greg didn't say. But let the Bible say what it says. I believe that the second coming of Jesus Christ will be soon. I'm not pinning dates on it. I'm not saying by a certain day, month, year. Brother Greg's not saying that. The scripture says no man knows the day or the hour. But the scripture does tell us the second coming of Christ, we have reason to believe, will be soon. You say, why do you say that, Brother Greg? Why do you believe the second coming of the Lord Jesus is soon? Let me give you real quickly a list of biblical signs that I believe indicate the Lord's return is soon. Back in Matthew chapter number 24, where we found the Lord speaking in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter number 24, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says this, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." What's it saying there? The rise of false Christs, the rise of false prophets indicates the coming of Christ is drawing near. Jesus repeated that same theme in verse number 24. "There shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And we've seen a multiplicity of these through the last several years. The Jim Jones of the People's Temple and the David Koresh of the Branch Davidians and the Sun Young Moon of the Unification Church and the Marshall Applewhite of the Heaven's Gate Cult and numerous others. And you see more and more of this type movement comes forward where people claim to be Christ or they claim to be a prophet of Christ and they have a message that nobody else has. They've got an interpretation that nobody else has. And we see that the multiplying of the false Christ and false prophets is something the scripture tells us about that will precede the second coming of Christ. And here's the kicker. When you begin to study this, you find out because of the modern media, the false Christ and the false prophets now are better known and they're getting out their message farther and faster than they've ever done that before. People can turn on the media and they can get it just automatically. And I believe that the rise of the false Christ, the false prophets, is an indication that we're soon approaching the time of the second coming of Christ. Number two, notice in verse number 6, Matthew 24, Jesus said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Wars and national conflicts, I believe, are an indication that we're rising to a fever pitch in which the final conclusion will be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The violence, the tumultuous disturbances, the terrorism, things like we had on September 11th of 2001, things like we had in Israel back on October the 7th of this past year, the advancement of extremist ideologies like ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram and so forth there. And we just came through a century that witnessed for the first time two world wars. I believe that the rise of wars and national conflicts and so forth is an indication that we're moving quickly toward the second coming of Jesus Christ. A third thing, look down in the middle of verse number 7, if you would. Jesus said, "And there shall be famines and pestilences." Famines and pestilences are a disease. Food shortages. Most notable in recent times, the famines in Yemen, South Sudan, all around the African continent. But we're even beginning to hear now about, even here in the United States, that there are food shortages being projected. And then also disease. Disease outbreaks, HIV, AIDS, SARS, H1N1, Ebola, COVID-19, antibiotic-resistant pathogens, and so forth. We see the continual multiplication of all these. What did Jesus say? He said, "Before I come again, there's going to be a rise of famines and disease." And look down then toward the end of verse number 7. The Lord said, "And earthquakes in divers places." What's he talking about? Natural disasters. There's the increase in earthquake activity, and then there are the results of earthquakes, some of them beneath the surface of the ocean there, because then you have the tsunamis, and you find entire communities being overrun by water because there's been an earthquake beneath the surface of the ocean there, and you've got the rushing of the water. Jesus said natural disasters or an anticipation of his return. But is not that what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse number 22? Paul said as we go toward the second coming of Christ, he said the entire creation would begin to groan, longing for the return of the Creator to lift the curse from the earth. And then notice also in Matthew 24 and verse number 9, the scripture tells us here, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, they shall kill you, you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." The persecution of true believers in Jesus Christ. Now stop and think about this. Voice of the Martyrs is one of the most reliable groups that keeps up with the martyrdom of Christians in modern times. According to the information that has been assembled by Voice of the Martyrs, listen to this, there have been more professing Christians martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ in the last 100 years than have been martyred from the time of the birth of the church in Acts chapter number 2 up until the beginning of 100 years ago. More Christians martyred for their faith in the past century than were martyred in 1900 years, roughly 2000 years, leading up to that time. The persecution of the church is an indication the second coming of Jesus Christ is drawing near. And then there's one last one. I'd ask you to look with me in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, where the Apostle Paul was also writing about the second coming of Christ, and what the Lord had shared with him about it in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, the moral decay of society. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1, Paul said, "This know also that in the last days perilous." If you've never noted this, the word perilous comes to us in our English from the Greek word that contains this coloring, this flavoring. Dangerous times. Times that expose men to horror or to injury. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous." Why in the world would you kill another teenager so that the first teenager could have that one's pair of shoes. Why would people break in a jewelry store and clean off the counters there? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Folks, the TV networks can barely hit the button fast enough to cut out the foul language of people being interviewed. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3, without natural affection. Yeah. Folks, that's your homosexual movement right there in three words. That is your homosexual, that is your transgender movement wrapped up in three words right there. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. In other words, people don't keep their promises. False accusers. Incontinent. In other words, people cannot be satisfied. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. In other words, headstrong, reckless, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What did Paul say about that? From such, turn away. You say, Brother Greg, do you believe the Lord Jesus is coming soon? I absolutely do. I'm not setting the day, the hour, the month, or the year. I just believe He's coming soon. I believe He's coming very soon, and all of the scriptural indications point to that. H.L. Turner put it into music. Not sure I can sing it, but I'll try. It may be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from this world His own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long ere we shout the glad song? Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The last promise of the Bible, surely I come quickly.